Hebrews chapter 11. We'll finish up the study of the life of Enoch as we are looking at during this next several weeks, probably a couple months, portraits of grace and just the portraits of God's grace in different lives and how it applies to us. And we can obviously see God's grace working in our life. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 to start with, you're there, and I'm going to read one verse back from Genesis chapter 5, which is verse 24, and it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." In Hebrews 11, verse 5, the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Now, obviously, being translated, he was, God took him, and they found him not. They didn't find his body because God took him. I mean, there was nothing to be buried, and God desired Enoch to be with him. But he had this testimony. This was his testimony that really should be the desire of every child of God, to have a testimony that we please God. And what pleased God about Enoch was not that he was perfect, not that he never sinned, not that he did everything right and loved everybody, but the fact that he walked with God. Because when you walk with God and you have an abiding walk and a consistent walk with God, as we talked about last week, it is pleasing to God, and all those other things will line up. As we walk with God more and more, we'll be able to love people more and more. We'll be able to do things that are right in the sight of God. But God was pleased with Enoch because Enoch had a walk with God. And as we looked at, this walk with God started after his first son was born. Because usually when you see a child being born and you see that life being given, it does cause, and it should cause, people to really think about how precious life is and how fragile life is. And the fact that life is but a vapor, and it should cause us to think about God and having a closer walk with God, knowing that we have a great responsibility as a parent, but even going on throughout our life, having that great responsibility to walk with God, who has given us life, who has allowed us to be born into this life and to even come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be able to have a life of walking with the Lord. And waiting for the day that the Lord translates us and takes us home to be with him. And whether it's through the rapture or before the rapture, you and I will meet our Heavenly Father. We'll see our Savior face to face, and we're looking forward to that. But again, talking about Enoch and having grace to walk with God, that God has given us this wonderful relationship. And we looked at that last week. Number one, Enoch's relationship. His relationship, according to letter A, was an abiding relationship. It was not something that was hit and miss. It was not a relationship for Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, but it was a daily, weekly, monthly relationship. And that was what was pleasing to the Lord, is that Enoch sought the Lord daily, and God wants us to seek him daily. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Whatever it is we're looking for in life, it's all found in Jesus Christ. The only way that we can love others is through Jesus Christ abiding in us and we in him. The only way that we can have true joy and peace is through Jesus Christ. And it comes more and more as we abide with Christ, as we walk with the Lord, as we have this abiding relationship. Again, it's not just for Sunday. It's not just for church. It's not just for old people, as some of the young people think. Well, that's for the old people. When I get old, I'll seek the Lord. And that's just not true. I'll be honest, as a teenager, I had that mindset. Church was for older people. And, you know, when I get older, then, you know, I'll seek the Lord. But the Lord showed me at a very young age, with the death of my brother-in-law, who was only 28 at the time, that, whoa, life is short. I mean, young people, everyone just thinks, nobody really thinks about death until they're faced with someone that they're close to dying, and it really, God uses it to wake you up and help you to see that, you know what, life is short. And God used the death of my brother-in-law in a great way in my life, as well as some of his other family members, and even some of my family members that were close to him. Listen, it's a wonderful relationship with the Lord to be able to abide with him. Now, you think about what Matthew Henry said of the passage with Enoch. This was his constant care and work, his relationship with the Lord. It's a constant care and work. It's something we have to work at. The Lord doesn't have to work at it, but we as God's people have to work at it, because there's so many things pulling at us, pulling at our time, pulling at our affections, our emotions, pulling at our mind. And it's a constant work that we have to work at every day, but the Lord helps us as we draw close to him. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, should be in your notes there. And they heard the voice of the Lord, speaking of Adam and Eve. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden, because they had sinned against God, and they were ashamed of what they had done. They were ashamed, obviously, of themselves being naked, but more so not physically naked, but spiritually naked before the Lord, because they had sinned a great sin against God, who Adam, no doubt, had enjoyed walking with God. Eve, up until this point, had enjoyed walking with God, with her husband, but then they had sinned against God. They did not abide in that relationship. But aren't you glad that God helped them out anyway? Because God clothed them. God clothed them with animal skin, and God, surely, he cast them out of that garden, but they could still have a relationship with God. They could still, through the sacrifices, seek God. In Romans 5, verse 1 through 2, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I mean, as you and I get closer to the Lord, and again, it is an abiding relationship. It's a constant relationship. Letter B there. I mean, it's a relationship that should get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And again, as we walk with the Lord, I mean, there should be nothing else that compares to it. Nothing else that should sway us away from our walk with God. But we should have such a sweetness about the walk of God, such a constant care about our walk with God, that we don't let anything get in its way, because it's something that's near and dear to our heart. And when you think about the life of Enoch, you think about the testimony and just the very few verses that are recorded about Enoch, it really speaks volumes about his relationship and how he protected it. 300 plus years of walking with God. I mean, that's, again, God, he had this testimony, he pleased the Lord. He didn't allow anything to draw him away from it. He didn't allow anything to come between him and his God. Look at letter B, a constant relationship. And we looked at these last week, so I'm kind of going through a little quickly on them to get to point number three. But not only is it an abiding relationship, but it's a constant relationship. Again, in Genesis 5, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Again, it was a relationship that never wavered. It was a relationship that never died. It was a relationship that he worked on. All right? It's not a relationship that he waited till things got rough and tough before he sought the Lord. But he every day purposed. He purposed to walk with God. He purposed to have that relationship abiding, being constant, because God is the only one that will be faithful to you and me. He's the only one that will always be there for us. He's the only one that has all the solutions to all the problems that we'll face in life. And as we walk with the Lord daily, as we come up against brick walls and we come up against pits and just things in life that that could take a toll on us, God's right there to encourage us along the way, to help us along the way. And just each day, just knowing that your Savior is there causes you and me to have a greater walk and a desire to be with Him daily. Again, you go to any cemetery and you look at the tombstones. And many of them will have some type of saying. Some of them just have the names, the birth date, and the date that they passed away on there. But there are some that will have some type of testimony on their tombstone. And I would, more than anything, I would want mine to say, you know, at least if it wasn't on my tombstone, I would want my testimony that was left behind, because, you know what, people are going to remember us for what we promoted the most in our life. You and I will be remembered for what we promote the most in our life. And I would want my testimony to be, he pleased God, because he had a walk with God. And that's what I would want to be remembered as a man that had a walk with God. Not someone that, you know, loved, you name a football team or basketball team. Not someone who, you know, loved recreation. But I would want it to be known, and that should be our desire, that we had a walk with God. They had a rough life. They didn't get everything they wanted, but they had a walk with God. I mean, it was a testimony that showed that God was important in our life. And when you think about just Enoch's testimony, you look at number 2, Enoch's relinquishment. I think we went over this last week, but number 2, Enoch's relinquishment. If we're going to walk with God, the Lord may convict us of some things that we need to eliminate from our life. You know, as we get closer to the Lord in our walk, He's going to show us things that are hindering us from getting closer, things that are not right in our life, that maybe they're not necessarily a sin, but as we're told, they're a weight. Something that's keeping us from being blessed more, keeping us from seeing the hand of God move in our life more, something that's just keeping us back from the blessings of God. And God will reveal those things in our life because only He can. You and I can examine our life and think about everything in our life, what we do on a daily basis, and probably come up with the end result of, I think I'm doing pretty good. I think everything's fine. And then God may spiritually tap us on the shoulder and say, what about this? And we would probably easily, Lord, what's wrong with that? Right? Well, Lord, that's nothing, you know, that's sinful. And what the Lord would say, but you're giving more time to that than to me. There are things in our life that we probably give more time to than we do the Word of God. Because for us to walk with God is to walk through the Word of God. You remember that old commercial about the Yellow Pages? Let your fingers do the walking, you know, through the Yellow Pages. We ought to, that's how we walk with the Lord, walking through His Word and allowing His Word to abide richly in us. And His Word causes us and helps us to trust Him more and more. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It's probably there in your notes. But the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Again, things that are not necessarily sinful, but again, things that are weighing us down, keeping us from getting closer to God, moving forward in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. And the sin, there may be sin that God shows us, that it is blatant sin. You know, again, unbelief is sin, all right? You may not be committing adultery, you may not be lying, you may not have murdered somebody, you may not have robbed a bank or anything, but having unbelief, God says, is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Maybe we're not really trusting God in some area of our life or with some situation, and God considers that sin because we're not trusting Him, the one who's faithful, the one who has all power, the one who has all the answers. You know, and that's really, if you think about it, if I can use this expression, that's a slap in the face for us to not fully trust the Lord, to have unbelief, and to not admit it. Now, again, we know of the father in the Gospels that came to Jesus about his son who was a lunatic. He was out of his mind, and he was possessed, and he was being cast into the water and cast into the fire as the demon was trying to destroy his life. And Jesus asked him, "Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can deliver your son?" The father said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." He admitted, "You know what? I've got some unbelief. I believe you can, but I've got some unbelief that you will." And again, if we'll be honest with the Lord will do something with that. He will help us because Jesus, I love it. Jesus, obviously, he is the express image of Christ. He's the express image of the Father. I mean, he showed the love of the Father. He showed the grace of the Father to people. And the fact that I think some people are afraid to admit their sin to God, thinking that God's going to strike them dead, hit them with a 2x4, not walk with them, not talk with them. But Jesus shows us his grace when the Father says, "I believe, but help my unbelief." You don't see in Scripture where Jesus rebukes him for the unbelief and says, "Well, you're a heathen for not believing." He simply turns to the Son and rebukes the demon because the Father admitted his unbelief. See, it wasn't honestly the disciples' fault that the boy could not be healed. Though Jesus kind of, tells them as well that, it's through prayer and fasting that these types of demons are cast out, all right? Again, prayer and fasting helps us to get closer to the Lord. It helps us to get things out of our life that are a hindrance, that whether it's a weight or a sin. But Jesus, obviously, it was the Father who had unbelief. Because remember the man that had the palsy, that was brought to Jesus by his four friends on his couch. And the four friends tried coming into the house where Jesus was, but they couldn't because of the crowd of people surrounding the house. Nobody would give way. Nobody would say, "Oh, here's some men carrying somebody. Hey, let's let them in the house." No, nobody would. But those four were not going to give up, those four friends, and they took their one friend up on the roof of that house, removed the tiles, and let their friend down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus looking up, seeing their faith, not the man's faith on the cot, but the faith of the four men who would not stop until they got their friend to Jesus because they knew Jesus could heal their friend. And Jesus obviously forgave the man of his sin and healed him. So you just think about your relationship with the Lord, not giving up, fully trusting, and when we don't, when we find ourselves tempted to not trust the Lord and a little unbelief, if we'll admit it, "Lord, I'm struggling with unbelief. Lord, it's been so long, I just have not seen anything happen in this person's life. I haven't seen them come to the Lord. I haven't seen things change in their life." If we will admit our unbelief, then the Lord can do something. But we do have to, in our own life, relinquish things that God shows us are either a weight or a sin, something that's keeping us from walking closer to the Lord. Again, Enoch's only testimony was he had a walk with God, and it was such a strong walk that God just took him one day. God just took him. And the Bible says that the death of his saints are precious in his eyes. He wants his people to be with him. Now, he leaves us here on this earth for a certain amount of time, and only he knows the time that we have on this earth. But he wants us to make the most of the time we have on this earth, and that includes having a closer walk with him, not waiting until we get to heaven. Letter A, trusting God's timing. Trusting God's timing. Enoch did not run with God. He walked with God. In our society, we can have nearly everything instantly except real heart-level relationships. Even in our fast-paced culture, we need to understand that God does not work on our schedule, and we need to learn to wait on His timing. Again, we know that, and we have to remember that when we're seeking God for things, that God has a timetable that is not our timetable. In Psalm 27, verse 14, the psalmist says, "Wait on the Lord." Now, isn't that something? Now, obviously, you know, as David writes this, he didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but think about it speaking to you, "Wait on the Lord." What are you waiting on? I mean, he's walking with you. He's with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you, but waiting on the Lord to fulfill your prayer. Waiting on the Lord to answer that prayer. Waiting on the Lord to change a circumstance, to provide something. Because again, the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. You know, the wonderful thing about waiting on God is while you're waiting, you can still walk with Him. You can still have an abiding, constant relationship while you wait on the Lord. Because what happens with a lot of people is they get tired of waiting. They get tired of waiting, so they get tired of walking with God, and they walk away from God because they're tired of waiting for God to do something. While we're waiting on God to do what we're asking, God wants us to continue to walk with Him so He can continue working on us and working in us. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, again, as we wait on the Lord, He wants to strengthen our heart. He wants to strengthen our resolve within us to remain faithful to Him, to continue seeking Him, to continue abiding with Him constantly, consistently, each and every day. Micah says in Micah 7:7, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me." I love that. "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation." If God has saved you, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're born again, washed in the blood, heaven's your home, you're sealed by the Spirit, God's presence is with you, then you know what? Waiting a little while for God to do something in your life that you're asking for, it's okay because you're trusting the one who has brought salvation to you, the one who has done the greatest miracle in your life, and that is to give you eternal life as well as me. So therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Aren't you glad that your God will hear you when you call out to Him? I mean, I'm glad because you know what? Not everybody will hear you that you call out to. Not everybody will answer their phone when you call because they're busy or whatever. But you call out to God, God's never busy. God's always right there, ready to talk and willing to talk and to hear what we have to say. Now, some people walk with God for many years but become discouraged eventually and stop walking with Him, but not Enoch. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. And I just say this, I'm glad that we don't have to live 300 years or more like they did. I don't know if I could live that long on this earth with all the things, you know, seeing this, how the world is just wicked and antichrist and difficulties. Now, trusting God and all that, yes, but, you know, that was a time. It's different now, and I just, you know, for me, I'm just thankful for 300 years. I'd rather hurry up and get to be with the Lord, all right? But our responsibility is to wait on the Lord even when we don't understand what God is doing. Now, we probably, you know, have never understood what God is doing or how He's doing it. But we've always seen Him come through for us. Because you know what? God's never failed you or me at any given time. Now, the devil would want us to believe that God has failed and God didn't come through, but God's always come through for us. Our responsibility is to wait on the Lord even when we don't understand what God is doing. Now, the devil wants you and me to allow a short season to drive you away from the Lord. Don't allow the devil to have that victory. Don't allow. Again, and a lot of people, they don't realize how subtle the devil is. Because I remember one time, many, many people trying to encourage, stay faithful to the Lord. Keep serving God. Oh, I haven't stopped being faithful. I haven't stopped serving God, but they stopped coming to church. They stopped reading their Bible. And yet they want to say, I haven't stopped being faithful or serving the Lord. It's like, you have, because these are the things that God has ordained for us. These are the things that God has given to us. And then those families have had their difficulties, and many have split, divorced, children gone wayward, all kinds of things. All because someone thought that they weren't walking away from God, and yet that's how the devil causes people to think. All right? Again, God wants us to be abiding constantly in this relationship. God's goal for you and me is to finish our course, to finish the race faithfully, coming to the finish line. God does not expect us to run the race perfectly, without any flaws, without any mishaps. Oh, He knows there's going to be flaws and mishaps along the way. But He wants us to remain faithful of just continuing to obviously confess when we mess up to the Lord and to continue moving forward. All right? I mean, have you ever seen, again, someone in the Olympics, any race, running a sprint, around the track, they're jumping hurdles, there's always one person that gets hung up, their foot hits the hurdle and they go down, or they don't all, go all the way down, but they kind of stumble, catch themselves. I've never seen one stop, turn around, start beating up the hurdle and saying, I quit. They don't even look at the hurdle. I mean, they're so focused, they get right back up and they keep running. They don't let what happened with the hurdle get into their mind to cause them to just quit the race and walk off because the hurdle wasn't being fair. Why didn't the other hurdles grab the other runners? But see, that's the way the devil wants us to think, is when something happens in our life, well, that's not fair. What about, and he wants us to focus on somebody else that seemingly isn't being tripped up and having any difficulties. And God wants us to forsake the things behind us. That's what even Paul talked about, forgetting those things behind, reaching forth unto what's before. There's always things in our past life that we could get hung up on, that the devil wants to use and say, I don't see how God can love you. Think about what you used to do. I mean, think about Paul. Paul was a murderer. I don't think there's any murderers in here. But you know what? Even a murderer can be saved. Even a murderer's life can be changed, and we see that with Paul. And Paul had to say, forgetting those things that are behind. Because no doubt the devil wanted to use those things. Even in the beginning of his life as a child of God, as a born-again believer, because when he tried to, the Bible says, he assuaged to join himself to the believers there at Damascus. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him because it's a trick. He's pretending. And I'm sure the devil probably tried jumping up on his shoulder and whispering in his ear, yeah, see, you're the same guy. You're the same murderer. And yet God had someone come alongside and befriend Paul by the name of Barnabas. And Barnabas tells the believers there at Damascus, you know what? This man has, his life's been changed. He now preaches with boldness the power of Jesus Christ. And obviously, as people got to know Paul and watched him, they saw that, his life was changed. But the devil always wants to try to pull God's people back to where they used to be. And God wants us to focus on where he has us and where he is taking us. And that is truly the walk with God, is that God helps us to move forward, helps us to change, helps us to get closer to Him, and helps us to stay focused. Letter B, we are to pursue God's calling. God has a calling in each of our lives. It may not be a calling to the mission field or to a position in ministry, but He has a calling, and that calling is to walk with Him. Walking with God includes following His will. I want you to look at there in your notes at Matthew chapter 4. Jesus as he calls the disciples. He calls them to walk with him. In verse Matthew 4, verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So right there, he calls them to walk with him. He tells them the purpose of their walk. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to serve people, how to tell people about the kingdom of heaven, how to be born again. And in verse 20, these two brothers had to make the decision. Are we going to walk with God or not? And guess what? They did. And they straightway, that means as soon as he spoke, they left their nets. They left their father. He had some other servants that could help him. It's not that they were leaving their father empty-handed with no help. And he says they left their nets and they followed him. They got up and they followed. And God does. He calls us every day of your life, he calls you to walk with him. Every morning, he calls you to walk with him. Again, for us in this day in our life, it is to pick up the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to walk with God, to let God abide with us and we with him, to listen to his voice as he speaks to us through his Word. But we are to pursue God's calling, pursue that walk with the Lord. If we are truly walking with God, it will be apparent in our lives. Enoch walked with God like that for so long that when it came time for him to enter eternity, he simply continued the relationship he already had. God took him, allowing him not to die. There in verse 24 of Genesis 5, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Again, I have heard of testimonies, of men and women who have been found after they've passed away holding their Bible. I forget who the preacher was, but there was a preacher, you know, many, probably in the 1800s. Look up, I can't remember his name, but he was found behind the pulpit. I mean, during a service he had passed away while he was preaching to his congregation, just there at the pulpit. God just took him. I mean, just even testimony of a person sitting in the pew of another church in service, just after the service, people come up to, you know, to greet them, you know, say goodbye and stuff like that, and wasn't there. Body was there, but he wasn't there. I mean, it's just, you know, having such a walk with the Lord that, you know what, there's going to come a day where we leave this world and we enter into eternity to be with the one who has always been with us and faithful and has loved us to the end. And we want to have that testimony that we were faithful to walk with God and we loved our Lord to the end, that nothing could draw us away, nothing could pull us away from the Lord. I mean, there's even a spot in Scripture that talks about cleaving unto the Lord. And I just, when I think about cleaving unto the Lord, I think about somebody who's got their arms wrapped around a light pole, while the winds are blowing so hard that their body is up in the air and they're vertical, and the wind is just trying to pull them off that pole, and they're clinging on to dear life. And that's how we should be with our relationship with the Lord, that, you know what, we are cleaving and clinging onto the Lord, that nothing's going to pull me away. It's not going to be by my strength, but it's going to be by the Lord's strength, because the Lord sees how much I want to be with him, that he holds me and that he protects me and he helps me to grow in my walk and my faith with him. Now, to think about, go down if you would to Roman numeral 3. Think about just the third part of this walking with God, the grace to walk with God, is the fact we see Enoch's reliance, his reliance. What a sweet, special relationship that Enoch had with God. He had a friendship. And that's the beauty of our relationship. It's a friendship. Because remember, Jesus told his disciples, I don't call you servants, but friends. And we are. We have such a friendship with the Lord. He had a friendship with God that he cannot exist unless there is complete trust, reliance involved, relying on the Lord. Now, Warren Wiersbe said this about Enoch: true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Read that again. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Again, someone may have the false idea that, well, Enoch lived in a day where there was no problems. You know, he lived in a day where, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot going on. But we go back to Genesis and we read surrounding the verses about Enoch. Enoch lived in a day where the imagination of man's heart was evil continually. The society was so wicked that very soon God was going to wipe out every living creature on this planet except for 8 souls. So he lived in a day where there was pressure and there was wickedness and evil all around him, but he stayed true to his relationship with God. He did not allow himself to be drawn away from his relationship with God. It was the most precious thing in his life, and he relied on that relationship because it is a relationship that gives us the strength and gives us exactly what we need to make it through this life and through this world. Again, look at Hebrews 11 there in your notes. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. God took him completely. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So it was before God took him that he had the testimony that he pleased God. In verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God because of his faith. And because he had such a strong faith in God, it helped him to remain faithful in his walk with God. Because again, his focus was all about God. His relationship was all about God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look at letter A. His reliance develops a testimony. His reliance on God develops that testimony that pleases God. Again, in Hebrews 11:5, it says that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. The word for testimony is, they say here, the Greek word mature, which means an affirmation or good report. When you rely on the Lord, you will have a good testimony over time. Again, being known as someone who always relies on the Lord. You know what? Even if somebody mocks the fact that, oh, you're praying again, we got to pray about this. You know, Sally or Johnny, you know, they always want to pray before we do something. That's fine. But having that testimony that, you know what, you're always seeking God. You're always seeking God in every situation because that's your walk with the Lord. Your walk with God has taught you to always seek Him first, to always talk with Him, and always, I'll say, run things by God first. Lord, should we do this? Should we not do this? Think about, again, when you think about David in that one situation where the city of Ziklag has been burned, all the women and children taken, his own men speaking of stoning him. So, I mean, he's got the stress of his own wives being taken. He's got the stress of his men turning on him and just, you know, just the pressure of what's going on at the moment. And the Bible says he encourages himself in the Lord because he has a walk with God, even though he made that decision to go into the land of the Philistines. Yet he has got a walk with God. He encourages himself in the Lord. He seeks God to, what are we to do? God, I mean, he seeks God and says, Lord, shall we recover everything? Will we get all our wives back and our children back? And the Lord directs his steps. Obviously, the Lord directs him to where they're at. They get all their wives and children back. Not one life is lost. They spoil the Amalekites. All right, God blesses them because God led David, because God relied on David. And as we walk with the Lord, we want our reliance on God to become stronger and stronger and stronger. Again, we don't walk with God just in church on Sunday or Wednesday. Our walk with God is outside these walls through our daily life, relying on God. This is easy. Coming to church and sitting in the pew and staying behind the pulpit, it's easy compared to making ourselves have a daily walk. Because again, every day there's going to be something that pulls us, something that comes up that wants to distract us from walking with God and spending our time with the Lord. And again, it's something that we have to, unfortunately, schedule, something that we have to really put effort into. And not just leave up to, you know, well, tonight before I go to bed, I'll spend time with the Lord. Because you know what? By the time we get to bed, if we haven't done it all day, we'll just pass out from exhaustion because our day's been so busy. And the devil knows that. And the devil will try to help to keep us busy if we're used to that type of lifestyle. But God wants us to have that abiding, constant walk with Him. And again, He wants us to develop this testimony. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible records, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Enoch did not walk with God because it was easy. He lived in a wicked time, yet he walked with God faithfully in spite of the sinful culture around him. Despite the sinful culture, despite the peer pressure, despite other Christians not faithfully walking with the Lord, other people that claim to be in the family of God. It's not always going to be easy, but we can remain faithful to it. It is possible to have a strong testimony for God, even in today's world. If Enoch did it then, we can certainly do it now. Don't let sin and the weights around us stop us from being a light for Christ in this dark world. Again, Jesus calls us to be lights in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Again, Enoch had this testimony of faithfulness as well as a testimony of truth. In Jude 14 and 15, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Again, Enoch had that testimony of faithfulness and a testimony of speaking the truth. And we too, again, as our walk continues to be faithful, we can have that testimony of being faithful and being truthful, speaking the truth in love. All right? Now, letter B. This walk and relying on the Lord, it pleased the Lord. You know, God is pleased when we rely on Him, when we seek Him. And it's okay. I know, again, our culture, our world teaches self-reliance. But self-reliance has truly never helped anybody eternally. We have to have our reliance in God, and it pleases the Lord. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We're told in verse 6, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him." Again, we do want to please God. It's not about earning salvation, but it's about pleasing the one who's given us the gift of eternal life. It's about showing our gratitude and our love to the one who has showed his love to us at the cross of Calvary. Now, how do we exercise the faith that pleases God? First, we please him by putting our faith in the finished work of Christ. Obviously, you've done that. You will never be able to please God until you have trusted in him for salvation. Now, obviously, if we're trusting God for our salvation, we can definitely trust Him for everything else in our life. Because if God can keep us saved, then certainly He can help us in any other matters in our life. Now, once we've been saved, we please God by trusting Him day by day. Don't try to run ahead of God, and certainly don't lag behind. Just walk with Him like Enoch did. Here's a quick illustration. Have you ever tried to teach a young child how to swim? What happens if that child is nervous and waves his arms all over the place? He's not going to learn how to swim. The process of learning how to swim involves trusting the instructor. If you are a parent, you understand the joy that comes when your children trust you. It pleases God when we trust His word. You know, I can just think about having a child on the side of a swimming pool and the parent in the pool saying, "Jump, I'll catch you." You know, and you're in the deep end or even off of a rock or something. You're wanting the child to jump to you, and the child is nervous. And the child is a little scared because it's something they've never done before. But once they do it the first time and the parent catches them, they realize, you know what? I can trust the arms of my parent. I can trust what they say. That's exactly our relationship with the Lord. Trusting the Lord as He continues to call us to walk with Him, as we continue to faithfully follow Him, as we continue to faithfully trust Him. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." He doesn't want us to be afraid of following Him, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I mean, that is just the grace of God in Enoch's life, is that God helped Enoch to be faithful. It's not that Enoch was some great spiritual man that was able to faithfully walk with God because, you know, that was him. But God helped him. Because again, he had issues in his life as well. The Bible does not record, but if he was living in that time frame of just wickedness rampant upon the earth, just like it is in our day, sin, wickedness seems to abound everywhere. But yet you and I can still have this faithful walk with a faithful God. We can still have this sweet relationship, abiding with the one who loves us so much that he shed his blood at Calvary for our sins, the one that helps us to be strong and to be faithful, and that it's the grace of God working in our life. And honestly, it should be the desire of every one of us that I want to be faithful in my walk with God. I want to be faithful in reading His word, faithful in calling out to Him, faithful in trusting Him, faithful in relying upon Him, faithful in abiding in the relationship with Him, and be honest with God and say, "Lord, I can't do it unless you help me." Be honest. Say, "Lord, I cannot be faithful to this relationship unless you help me, because there's just too much in my life that pulls at me, pulls at my time." I mean, responsibilities and all kinds of stuff. And again, if we'll be honest with the Lord of the weights and the sins that are in our life, then God will be faithful to help us to be strong in the faith and to remain faithful in this relationship, walking with Him daily. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You that You've called us into this fellowship with You. We thank You, Father, it's not just a fellowship, but Lord, we're in the family of God. We are one of Your children. And we thank You, Father, for that father-child relationship that we have and that we can experience each and every day. Lord, I pray that You would help us to recognize Your grace in our life, that You are the one that has helped us to remain faithful. But Lord, help us to even be resolved in our hearts like Daniel was. He was purposed in his heart not to defile himself against God. Help us, Lord, to be purposed in our heart that we want to guard this relationship. We want to guard this walk with the one who we love, because He first loved us. I pray, Father, You would bless our time this morning. Allow it to be fruitful. Help us, Lord, to apply the things to our life that You show us and give us from Your word. And help us, Father, to walk away today changed in some way, being drawn closer to You. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.